Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your host for this weekly Bible teaching broadcast. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, Mandarin Chinese, and other languages are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. And now, I invite you to stay tuned for my teaching, A Clueless Crowd, from Luke chapter 12 and verses 49 to 59. In AD 79, swift and terrible destruction wiped out the city of Pompeii. Mount Vesuvius erupted so suddenly that residents were killed while they were in their daily routine. They died amid volcanic ash and superheated gases from the volcano. You and I can hardly imagine the panic of that terrible day. But you know, the saddest part of the story is, these people didn't have to die. Scientists confirm what ancient Roman historians recorded. There were weeks of rumblings and shakings before the actual eruption of the volcano. An ominous plume of smoke was clearly visible from the mountain days before. If only the people had listened and responded. You know, there's a much greater judgment coming on our world than what happened in Pompeii. And like the warning signs given by Mount Vesuvius, but ignored by the inhabitants of the city, there are many signs of impending judgment today. But like those in Pompeii, most people today are too busy pursuing personal pleasure to pay attention. Many of us have a tendency to see only the things we want to see. The things we don't want to see, we just pretend they don't exist. Now, our blindness doesn't change the facts, it only makes us temporarily more comfortable. The people in Pompeii heard the rumblings, they saw the plume of smoke, but they ignored the evidence and continued their dissipated lives, and only a very few of them survived. Much of Jesus' teaching in the Gospels is about the coming judgment. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus warns his hearers repeatedly about the need for vigilance. If they want to escape judgment, they must understand its causes and be alert to the signs of its coming. In this teaching session, we're focusing on Luke chapter 12 and verses 49 to 59. While we can't hear the tone of Jesus' voice, the words he used reveal to us his urgent warnings to a virtually clueless crowd. Many of those in the crowd came out of curiosity. Others claimed to be his followers, and there were some who were truly following him. The words he spoke addressed them all, and they still speak to us today. Are you and I part of the clueless crowd today? I invite you now to listen to the reading of God's Word from Luke chapter 12 and verses 49 to 59. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to bring peace on the earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two, and two against three. Father will be divided against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather. And there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? Yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite. In this text, Jesus offers several pointed criticisms of the clueless crowd. His first criticism of the crowd was they were clueless about the cost of discipleship. Jesus opens this text with a shocking statement, "I have come to cast fire on the earth." Fire was a common metaphor used by the prophets to describe judgment and purification. It's important for us to remember these words are given in the context of judgment. We see that in verses 47 and 48. So Jesus said, "Judgment is coming." And then he said something even more shocking, "How I wish the fire was already lit." What did he mean by these statements? Some connect this with Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended. But I don't see how that fits the context. Besides, the word cast is an intensive word. It means to hurl or to throw. Consider for a moment the mindset of Jesus' listeners. Their expectation of Messiah was one who would free them from Rome and establish his kingdom on earth. But as they listened to Jesus' teaching, they knew he wasn't talking about liberation from Rome. He was teaching them to focus on a heavenly kingdom. And he made it clear this coming kingdom would be birthed in hardship and pain, not ease and pleasure. Joining was voluntary, but obedience was required. To be sure, this fire Jesus spoke of was not the purpose of his first coming, but it was the effect of his coming. Fire purifies the precious and it destroys the worthless. The passion of Jesus would ignite the heart of his followers and set on fire the hearts of those who opposed him. His followers would be purified, while his foes would ultimately be consumed. This was a time for choosing. Jesus' wish that the fire were already lit refers, I believe, to his death. We see the smoldering embers of hostility among the religious leaders in the end of chapter 11. Their hostility would soon burst out into open flame and result in his horrible and unjust death. Jesus speaks openly of this in the next verse. And yet, this injustice would result in the growth of the kingdom. In verse 50, Jesus changes the metaphor from fire to water. Baptism. He said, "I am having a baptism, the cross, to be baptized with, and I am hard-pressed until it is accomplished." As Jesus addresses the crowd, he is distressed or anxious to reach the baptism of the cross. Paul uses this same word in Philippians 1:23. He says he is torn between two competing desires, to be with Christ or to remain with the believers. Now, Jesus knew he would come through the waters of this baptism, but part of his distress, his anxiety, must have been because he was to bear the sin of all humanity. And what was to be the impact of this fire of judgment and his baptism of the cross? Jesus' next question and the following statements should remove all doubt about the cost of discipleship. He asked, "Are you thinking that I came to bring peace on the earth?" Was the crowd wrong to expect peace? Didn't the angelic messengers proclaim peace on earth? Yes, they did. But it was primarily peace between God and individuals who accepted his offer of spiritual rebirth. Jesus' death would make peace possible. It would enable sinful man to be reconciled to a holy God. But in that process, it would divide relationships. And not just any relationships. The cross would bring division in the most basic social grouping known to mankind, the family. This must have come as a shock to Jesus' listeners, and yet it is central in much of Jesus' teaching about the cost of being a disciple. Among observant Jews, then and now, the family is paramount. Among the Orthodox, accepting Yeshua as Messiah often leads to expulsion from the family, perhaps even a formal death certificate. How many families do you know today that are divided because of Christ? Perhaps your family is one of them. Jesus said the Father and the Son would be divided. Each will have his own enmity toward the other. Mothers and daughters will experience a similar rupture in relationship. Even the extended family is affected, mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law. You know, many of our brothers and sisters in Christ in other parts of the world have experienced this enmity and separation firsthand. They need our prayer support to help sustain them in their time of trial. I believe the connection of this teaching with the previous warnings about hypocrisy, covetousness, and watchfulness call us to sober reflection on Jesus' words. We too often want to avoid the division that the gospel brings, so we try to soft-pedal the stark reality of the cross. And we proclaim a perverted gospel that focuses only on God's love and ignores the fact that Jesus' death on the cross was necessary to satisfy God's holy wrath against my sin and yours. My friend, are you clueless about the cost of discipleship? If so, you're not alone. There are too many churches and pastors proclaiming a gospel that involves no sacrifice. They preach Jesus as Savior, but fail to inform their listeners that taking Jesus as Savior demands that you also take him as Lord and Master. Jesus makes it clear in this text and many others that being one of his disciples is only possible if we are willing to give up everything for his sake. Will you embrace the cross, or will you remain willfully clueless about the cost of following him? My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, A Clueless Crowd. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, A Clueless Crowd. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533, to request a free copy of this teaching, A Clueless Crowd. It's available to you either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, A Clueless Crowd. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.